Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of Mishmash Mayhem.
Mishmash Mayhem!
The podcast where we take the schoolyard conversation of which fictional character will win in a fight and talk about it in a podcast.
That's what this is.
Yeah, again.
Again. Eventually I might come up with something slightly different to say there, but probably won't.
No, it's fine. I think it's good.
Every week it seems original, and every week it's the same old thing.
Anyway, I'm Chris.
Oh yeah, and I'm Wade, or Matt Wade.
A man with so many similar names that you couldn't fit them all on a graph.
Do you want me to make a graph of my names?
No.
It would be a very boring graph. It'd be a Matt axis and a Wade axis and a straight line. Actually, it wouldn't be a straight line because you can have there'd be 3 points in a box.
Wouldn't it be one of them would be 0 Wade and all Matt? One of them would be zero Matt and all Wade.
And then one of them would be 1 Matt and 1 Wade. So yeah, it'd be just a box.
It'd be a box. But you could fill that box with ideas and
I could. But what would 75% Wade and 25% Matt be? Would that be MWOD?
Yeah. Which would be your rapper name.
Oh, I'm MWOD, mate. That's my rapping voice.
Yeah. You've just cemented yourself as a very white person.
I am a very white person. Oh, dear. What are we doing?
I think we've got a couple of bits of, admin stuff to go through, ideas and changes we've made.
Oh, spooky.
Because, firstly, I'd like to talk about our character selection process.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Because originally what we were doing is we had one pool of characters which we were taking from. But as sort of Matt has said in the last few episodes, and we'll probably say again in this one, he's not a Harry Potter expert and has had to talk about Voldemort for a while now. And in the last episode, I had to talk about Wicked K, who was a character I'd never heard of until Matt suggested it. And don't get me wrong, I enjoyed learning about the new character, and we do some research for this. But we thought it would be better if we had characters we knew at least some basis about and were able to talk about a bit without the research, and then we could add to it with the research we do. So going forward, starting with today's episode, we have decided to have a pool of characters each, and that way we can ensure we have some characters that we know about. And we also have the fun idea that it means the other person doesn't know what character is about to be in it.
Oh, all we get is the clue at the end. And sometimes that clue at the end, as I'm sure if you're listening are aware, it's not enough. There's a lot of people who fall under that category.
So it means today, Wade is just as confused about who's about to appear as the rest of you.
Yes, I am clueless. Except I'm not, because I had a clue. But the clue didn't help me.
No. Did you want to take another guess?
What was the clue again? It's something about being in a comic.
The clue is that it's a comic book character who is not from this world.
Oh, I don't know. Marvin the Martian. He was probably not in a comic ever. But
he's certainly been in a comic, but I don't know if Looney Tunes were in a comic before they were on TV. I'm not sure. I thought they were on TV first, but don't know.
Does that matter?
Well, they would be a cartoon character as opposed to a comic book character.
Well, I mean, yeah, kind of. But I mean, that's kind of a bit backwards, isn't it? It's like if I'm employed and I was a magician and then I got fired and became a manager at McDonald's and you said, oh, Matt Wade, he's a magician. Even though I don't get paid to do magician things anymore, I just do managing at McDonald's. You know, you'd say I'm a McDonald's manager. You'd say it based on what I currently am and on what I am. Isn't it weird that when you do characters, you base it on based on what their first thing was, not what they currently are?
Yeah, it is, I suppose.
Oh, the world is so backwards.
Interesting though, as you've brought it up, from doing my research, because I actually only really knew this character from the film adaptations, as I'm sure many of our listeners will only know that's where they're from. And in the film adaptations, they are from another world because it simplifies it. But in doing their research and their backstory, I actually found out that their origins were on Earth, and thus my clue was wrong, technically.
Oh well.
But they are definitely a comic book character.
Fair enough. The other change that we had was, as you know, we've had Voldemort in the hot seat for 2 episodes now. He's won two little fights. And we were like, well, we don't want someone to get stale, to get stagnant. And 3 seems like a decent number, where if someone wins it, they can get entered into a Hall of Fame.
It's almost like it's a magic number.
It is a magic number. The canon that we're possibly going with, I'm throwing this at you right now, even though I did throw it at you probably on Facebook the other day, was that they're earning their M's, right? It's like when you're playing horse. And in horse, obviously, if you score a point and the other player gets a there and you're like, oh, you're a horse. Lol, I'm just a whore. And then, but in this, they're earning their M's, their Mish, their Mash, and their Mayhem. So, old Voldy, he's got his Mish, he's got his Mash, now he's after his Mayhem. No matter what happens today, next week will be a new contestant from our lineup, either because Voldemort has popped his clogs, which is unlikely because he's not Danish. Is it Danish who have the clogs? Dutch?
Dutch.
Because he's not Dutch? Yeah. Or because he's entered the Hall of Fame and is entering a light period of retirement until seven other participants enter the Hall of Fame, and then we'll work out what to do with them then.
An eight-way tournament Hall of Fame decider to see who is the ultimate Hall of Fame champion. Until we have, then I guess, eight ultimate Hall of Fame champions.
Oh my god!
I know, right? It will spiral continuously until, I don't know, we've either done every fictional character ever or just decided to stop doing this podcast.
Done every fictional character ever. We'll have to write our own new fictional characters.
That's it. We could start using our like D&D characters.
I mean, technically that's a fictional character.
Right. People would love to hear about Crow.
About Crow?
Yeah, Crow's the druid I play.
Oh, what about Gimble Garrick?
That's an excellent name.
It's a great name, isn't it?
The reason my one's called Crow, it's Crow spelled with a K, but he's called Crow Murderov.
Yeah.
And he is, I can't remember what the race is called, but a bird person.
Mm, yeah.
So it's all massively pun heavy.
My guy was a half, I can't even remember, a gnome rogue. A rogue.
And obviously, so that means if Voldemort does go in the Hall of Fame today, then there will be two new people tomorrow, because he'd have killed one and then retired himself.
Tomorrow?
Not tomorrow. I don't know why I said tomorrow. Next episode.
Next time.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
I've established that next time there'll be two new people.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
But, obviously, everyone who knows anything about any sort of films or TV shows knows that if you're one day away from retirement, you're so much more likely to die.
Oh my god. You're absolutely right.
I know, right? And I mean, every sort of 5 minutes I'll have to stop in the fight just to go, oh, I'm getting too old for this shit.
Too old. Oh dear. Oh man.
You know, you gotta love a bit of a Lethal Weapon reference.
Yeah, and he'll be talking with like his best buddy, so Nagini. Then someone will come and go to kill Nagini. Maybe not even kill, maybe it's like Steve Irwin's just come to talk about him. And they were like really defensive and you know, get in the way, and Steve Irwin accidentally kills Voldemort. And then he's like, oh, take my... I mean, that's obviously impossible with the constructs that we've given. But anyway, that, you know, he's like, oh, take my Elder Wand and my noseless face before I die. Tell everyone I killed their bastards. And Nagini would just be like... As usual, we are going to go through both our characters, one at a time. We're going to go through a little bit about them, a little bit of backstory, a little bit of history, a little bit of romancing and dancing, probably.
A little bit of Monica.
A little bit of Monica, a little bit of Jessica, a little bit of Tina's all I need. Sandra in the sun.
Sure.
I get lost then. And go through their abilities, what they use, and then we'll go through your new entrance character, their abilities, etc. And then we're going to roll the
die of death.
The die of death to determine where we will be, and then we will discuss what kind of obstacles and problems this may give to our combatants before beginning the fight.
Yes. Do you want me to introduce my character now?
I don't know. Were we carrying on with Voldy first because he was the reigning champion?
We will do Voldemort's like stuff first.
Hmm.
But I don't know if you wanted to know who he's against before you do his stuff.
Oh, I see what you mean. Sure.
Okay. So the combatant that is going to be against Voldemort in this week's episode is Drax the Destroyer of Guardians of the Galaxy fame.
This sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. He's kind of like the big heavy of the Guardians.
I'm trying to remember who he is. Oh, he's Blue Man.
Yeah. He's the one that, certainly in the films at least, he doesn't understand non-literal things.
Yeah.
Like euphemisms and cultural references and stuff.
He appears to be green.
Yeah, he is supposed to be green with like red markings. I always thought in the film he looked more grey myself, but
I thought he looked more blue, but I mean I'm obviously a tit. It's been a while since I've seen him in a film.
I mean, I thought about the Guardians and I was tempted to put in Rocket, but then I thought Drax might be a bit more fun. He's a bit more crazy and stabby.
Well, now that the combatants are set, let's introduce them. That doesn't make much sense.
Well, that's fine. We'll start with our reigning champion, as is tradition.
Reigning champion. He's got an M on his left shoulder. He's got an M on his right shoulder. And today, he's after the M for his forehead.
Yes. The one that lets him shoot mayhem.
Mayhem beams, yep. Yeah. It is Mishmash Voldemort. That's not his proper title. Lord Voldemort. Once upon a time, he was an excellent wizarding student at the school of Hogwarts, witchcraft and wizardry. And then he became an atrocious racist and incredibly skilled wizard.
Hey, you don't know he wasn't always a racist.
He probably wasn't always a racist.
Okay.
I mean, when you're born, are you a racist?
It could be.
I don't think so. However, upon coming evil, going evil, turning evil, wanting to get rid of all the unpure bloods in the wizarding world and becoming a great wizard, he was vanquished by the greatest of all foes, a newborn baby, shooting his beam of death, his signature move, his Avada Kedavra, into the baby's face. The baby lived by the power of love.
Does he love Huey Lewis in the news?
Absolutely, yes. He was reduced by Huey Lewis and the News, starring Harry Potter, to a ghastly shroud with no body. Throughout many years, the next 14 years or so, he regained his body by means of his servants. I can't remember. What went into the potion to give him his body?
His servant's hand is the blood of his enemy, the bone of his father. I think that was it.
Yeah. And with this, he was reborn. Reborn with a body so immaculate that any grey being with no nose would be proud to see it. Of Voldemort, he has 7 Horcruxes, of which his soul is stored in. He cannot be defeated. And all of these have been destroyed, of which most of them have been destroyed by this time. The only one he has left in our canon here is old Nagini, his trusted battle snake. We are well aware that Nagini is by no means a battle snake, but we call it a battle snake every time, and we will continue calling it a battle snake.
I mean, how fun is the phrase battle snake?
It's so good.
Boring office meeting, battle snake. Awkward silence at a party, battle snake.
This will liven things up. At his disposal, he has a vast arsenal of spells, including his signature green flash death move, Avada Kedavra. One shot of that into your face, your chest, your arm, your leg, anywhere, really, and that's instant death. Unless you're already dead.
As we just talked about last time.
Mm. Other spells he may have access to. In fact, we know he has access to a lot of spells. He was a great wizarding folk. Include the other 2 forbidden curses. Crucio, the torture spell, inflicting considerable pain on the opponent and making them writhe in pain until they, well, you know, it's used for torture. So until they stop, or they die, or they give up, or go unconscious, or faint, or something along those lines.
I thought the point is it won't ever kill them.
Yeah, it won't. Well, I mean, like, they could probably die of exhaustion from it.
Well, possibly. That would take a really long time.
It would. The final forbidden curse, Imperius, lets him control the opponent and do his evil, dark bidding, which likely won't be fry me a pancake, will likely be fry your face.
You see, that's what I would use the Imperius curse for. I mean, not that I would, because it's evil. But I would use it for really mundane things. It'd just be like,
lend me 50p. Not even give, lend. They will ask for it back.
Make me a hot chocolate.
With cocoa. Who wants to make a hot chocolate? With magic.
I'd make it with chocolate powder, not with cocoa. Cocoa's too bitter.
It is pretty bitter. That's why you add all the sugar.
Yeah. I'd rather just use chocolate powder, and then I don't need to add sugar.
Fair enough.
I would add marshmallows.
Voldemort, other spells he may have include Incendio, the old fiery spell. Some old Hogwarts classics like Accio. I don't think he's going to use that very often, but you know, he might. Might be like Accio Battle Snake.
Yes. I think that actually, if Nagini was in danger, he could be like Accio Nagini and just get her out of there.
Ah, well, she's quite big. It's like saying Accio the Moon.
Yeah, that's what they should do if they really wanted to cause some trouble in the Harry Potter universe. Accio the Moon.
How many people do you think you would need to Accio the Moon? What are the limits of Accio?
I don't know. I mean, I know spells can be more powerful if more people do them. But maybe it's like using the Force, that if you mind over matter it, you can do anything with one person.
Right, I'm Googling what the limits of Accio are.
Okay.
No line of sight needed.
How many wizards do I need to Accio the Moon?
No distance limits. Depends on concentration. Okay, cool.
So you could reach the moon.
I don't know.
What I'm hearing is that you can Accio the Moon. Which is basically the plot of Despicable Me.
This is how Majora's Mask dies.
This is how you beat Mako Tsunami in a duel.
Only works on inanimate objects.
Like the moon.
I mean, is the moon inanimate?
It's not alive.
But it is moving. Like, it's in orbit.
Yeah, but doesn't inanimate just mean it's not alive?
Oh, I mean, I would have thought animate meaning move, you know, like animated. Inanimate would be, not alive, not showing sign of life. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so yeah, okay, there's no reason why it shouldn't work on the moon.
Amazing.
I know how this tiebreaker is going to go. And the final one, major point of note is he can fly. Wispy, turn into a lovely cloud of wispiness, fly around with his pasty blue face and no nose, and scare people. Battle snake! Nagini is a viper. Yeah, that's our brief reminder overview of Lord Voldemort with muchos tangents.
Just to keep it interesting. So, I guess it's time to talk about Drax.
Do.
So Drax the Destroyer first appeared in the comic The Invincible Iron Man number 55 in 1973.
He's older than me and you.
He is. Yep. Almost put together.
Not quite put together.
But almost. He was originally a human called Arthur Douglas.
Is he really?
Yeah. But whilst driving through the desert one day, Thanos' ship crashed in front of him. And so Thanos, to kind of get rid of any evidence of him being there, attacked his car with him and his daughter in and sort of destroyed it. But then needing a champion to fight against Thanos, because obviously Thanos is a massive evil upon the galaxy, Mentor and Kronos captured Arthur's spirit and placed it in a new powerful body, and he was rechristened Drax the Destroyer, who had the sole purpose of destroying Thanos.
I mean, if you were going to have a name, and it's either Arthur or Drax the Destroyer, you're going to choose Drax the Destroyer, aren't you?
Certainly, if your sole purpose is to kill a galaxy-wide tyrant, yeah.
Mm.
Because, I mean, Arthur is a bit less intimidating. I think, like, anything that ends in the Destroyer is quite intimidating.
Arthur the Destroyer?
Yeah, but I like the alliteration.
Yes.
But you know, the reason that loads of Marvel characters have alliterative names is because it makes it easier to remember.
Oh, yeah, almost certainly. I mean, kids are far more likely to go, oh, I want to know about Timothy the Titan, rather than I want to learn about Timothy the big giant man.
Well, it wasn't even necessarily for a consumer thing. Also, I've been told, I mean, you can fact check this if you want, but I was being led to believe that it was actually Stan Lee had a bad memory and wanted to make sure he remembered all his own characters, so gave them alliterative names. Drax has got so into his sort of mission of destroying Thanos. He's got a really good work ethic about it. He's constantly trying to destroy Thanos to the point that one time when Captain Marvel defeated Thanos, Drax then attacked Captain Marvel, like, because he was so outraged that he took the honor of defeating Thanos away from him.
Love it.
Yeah. So he's got a very sort of hot temper, and he's very passionate about his need to kill Thanos.
Mm.
He is currently a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I would speculate, as long as the MCU is going on, he will remain in the Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics as well.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, he's probably mostly known for the films.
He is.
I certainly hadn't heard of him until then. When Drax was first introduced, he had superhuman strength, stamina, and resistance to physical injury. He also had the ability to shoot concussive blasts of cosmic energy from his hands.
That's cool.
Yeah, right? Not something he can do anymore, as I'll come on to. He could also travel at high speeds in both outer and hyperspace without food or water.
Nice.
He also had telepathic powers, which were able to equal Thanos's in psychic combat, which is pretty impressive, because Thanos's deal is he's kind of really awesome at everything. That's how you become an evil tyrant. You couldn't have some sort of weak and puny person become an evil tyrant, because people would beat them.
How did his reign of terror end? Where he was punched by a small child.
Yeah, it turns out he was actually very feeble and easy to defeat in combat. After he had like that iteration, there was a point where he was defeated, and then he was moved into a even more powerful body, but at the reduction of his mental capacity, and he basically kind of became another Hulk-like character in the way that he sort of referred to himself in the third person and couldn't really string a sentence together, but was very good at smashing everything.
Smash!
Yeah, it was like Drax Smash instead of Hulk Smash.
Love it.
And whilst in this super powerful form, he actually ate one of the Infinity Stones, which only made him even stronger.
Which one did he eat?
Oh, I can't remember. What are they? What are the Infinity Stones?
There's the Soul Stone. There's the Time one. Pass on the rest?
Sure. I don't know. He ate one of them, and it made him even stronger. And then, after a while, that form was changed as well, and then he became the modern iteration of Drax that we know today, where he still has sort of very increased strength, stamina, and resistance to injury, but he doesn't have any psychic or telekinetic abilities. He can't travel through hyperspace, and he can't shoot concussive blasts of cosmic energy from his hands.
Oh.
He's just really strong.
It seems like they should have just left his body the way it was.
Well, in the original one?
Yeah.
Possibly. Oh, maybe it is because people find it harder to sort of relate with characters who have too many powers. Like, for a superhero, you can understand why they have a couple of powers, like one or two. But I think, certainly if you want a character to be a serious character, they have to have limits.
Hmm. So which iteration is coming into the fray?
Well, I was going to use the most recent one.
That makes sense.
Because, especially as considering the follow-through from the comics, that they are all the same person. It's just how he is currently.
Yeah.
I mean, in the movies, it's slightly different because he is a human. And it was his wife and daughter who was killed by Thanos, not just his daughter.
Wait, is he really a human?
He's not in the films, but he is in the comics. You know, so the most recent comic one is very similar to that. Also, for anyone who does know the comics, who picks up on what I just said, I'm aware in the comics his daughter wasn't actually killed. She comes back, like, she was just thought to be killed, and they actually could do a lot of adventuring together. His daughter's called Moondragon, which is an awesome name.
Is that her original human name?
Probably not, but I don't know what her
original name is. Hi, I'm Arthur, this is my daughter Moondragon.
Yeah, I like to believe it was, and they were just massive hippies, and it's like, this is Moondragon. A couple of things that they've added for the most recent iteration of him is he now uses two big knives in combat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, dual-wielding, very big knives, which is cool. And he also has enhanced senses.
Okay.
They were sort of saying that he could smell the difference between a human and an alien, you know, without seeing them. They also said that he could smell so well, he could tell if an energy blaster was defective or not. So he could smell how well energy is working in a gun.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. He has also gained the ability to pass through Thanos' force fields, which I'm aware won't help him fighting Voldemort. But maybe it will be similar if he tries to go for a protective charm or something. I don't know. They also, he has the ability that all of his powers and strength and stuff get stronger the closer he is to Thanos.
Okay.
Which obviously when he's trying to defeat Thanos is a really cool thing, that the closer he gets to Thanos, the more powerful he becomes, and thus it is easier for him to defeat him, which is a really, like, cool buff.
It is very useful.
I understand during this fight, it is very unlikely Thanos will be involved. So I will just take him at a base super strength.
Akio Thanos.
No, because it doesn't work on living things.
Yeah, I know.
Akio Thanos' throne. He might be sitting in it.
Hashtag plot holes.
But the problem is, if Thanos did get too close, then Drax would stop trying to fight Voldemort and would just go and fight Thanos instead.
Yeah.
And then Voldemort may well just shoot him in the back and win.
Maybe.
So Drax has a very bloodthirsty nature. He often just sort of throws himself into combat with the idea of just cutting his way out of combat with his knives.
Do you think he could cut himself out of a wet paper bag?
I think very easily, yes. Surely a wet paper bag is even easier than a regular paper bag.
Yeah, it should be. That's why the expression is like, oh, you couldn't get yourself out of a wet paper bag. It's to mean like, you're a noob. Get a grip.
Paper bag noob.
Paper bag noob. Accio wet paper bag.
Go and get your way out of this now.
Ah. You'll never escape this wet paper bag.
Why aren't we supervillains?
Us. Because all we would do is try to summon the moon and wet paper bags.
Those are two very extremely different like levels of villainy, aren't they? I'm going to trap you in a wet paper bag. I'm going to summon the moon. Whoa.
One of them wouldn't work because it'd be like, oh, you got out of that way, paper bag, good effort. And the other one probably wouldn't work because you'd be like, yeah, I'm not strong enough to summon the moon. And even if I was, what happens then? Oh, well done, mate. You just destroyed the entire world and the moon. You can't even live on the moon.
People would love it, though, if you brought the moon here because it's made of cheese and they'd have a lot of good toasties.
Oh, man, I really want a toasty now.
We can have one for lunch. It's nearly lunch.
I don't have a toasty machine.
Can't you just put it in the oven?
Well, I mean, I suppose I could.
It's kind of the same.
Probably won't do that.
Or you could go out and go buy a toasty.
Yeah, but you don't know where I live.
I don't know. But there might be somewhere that sells toasties nearby.
I'm probably just going to have a fish finger sandwich, to be honest.
That's pretty good. If you toasted that.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the same as a toasty, would it? A fish finger toasty would be awful. It would be so bad. What's the worst toasty you've ever made?
I've never made a toasty.
You've never made a toasty?
No.
Jesus. I once remember making a Smarties toasty. And it was so bad. Like, don't get me wrong, there are chocolate toasties that go really well, like Mars bar toasties. They're pucker, mate. Smarties toasties, the sugar shell just makes it so awful.
Really? Because you think it would caramelize? I guess it's too hard.
It just makes them like warm Smarties in bread. It's not the best.
I mean, it doesn't sound awful.
Well, it's pretty awful.
So then my last point on Drax is when he's not sort of overwhelmed by his bloodthirsty nature, he can be very cunning and have quite a strong tactical mind, but he does tend to just sort of run into combat, and if that doesn't work, then think of tactics. But yeah, so that's him. There was the point as well that a lot, which again, I don't even think they really do in the films, but they certainly said in the comics that the other Guardians of the Galaxy don't necessarily trust him entirely because they are very much aware he only joined the Guardians as a means to an end. Like, he is very much with them until he can kill Thanos, and he doesn't really care about the good of the universe as long as he gets to kill Thanos. So I guess that sort of kind of shows his drivenness and I guess more of his bloodthirsty ideas and stuff that he literally doesn't care about whether or not any sort of good or bad happens. He's only focused on his goal.
Oh, yeah, it seems reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if his sole purpose is to kill somebody, then by God, he's going to kill them. He's a very determined chap. I guess who's fighting today? That's our combatant set up.
You know what time it is now?
No.
It's time to find out where they fight, where they meet.
Oh, and how are we going to do that?
Time to roll.
The die of death in a graveyard.
In a graveyard. Okay, right. There's some things we've got to establish. How big is this graveyard?
It is. I don't know. Big? Small? How big is the graveyard? I don't know. What do you want?
How big is a graveyard? Let's go for the graveyard from Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Sure.
Because I feel like not many people associate themselves with graveyards, but lots of people associate themselves with Michael Jackson's Thrillers. Graveyard. It looks to be fairly small as far as graveyards go.
I think most graveyards are relatively small.
Yeah, unless you go to like a big old war memorial kind of graveyard.
Yeah.
So you're probably looking like the size of, like, you know, a Tesco Express. If you removed everything from the middle and made it a bit bigger. Actually, you know what a better example is? Like a petrol station forecourt without anything in it, but gravestone.
Sure. I mean, I know that well.
Yeah, that's kind of the size of it.
So it's not very big?
No, it's not huge. I could count tombstones if I wanted to, but I don't, and I won't.
Are they laid out in relatively formulaic sort of manner, tombstones? They're usually like all in rows, aren't they?
They're usually semi-organized.
Do you want to give it like a, what are we doing? Are we doing like a 10 by 10?
10 by 10?
Yeah.
It'd be more than that, I think. It's not that important.
Yeah, the important thing is they're in a graveyard. They can hide behind tombstones.
I'm assuming it's going to be nighttime because it's a graveyard.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be nighttime, possibly with some sort of low mist.
Yes, and as we all know, whenever you're in a graveyard, it is nighttime.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody goes to graveyards in the day. That'd be weird.
So Drax is in a grave, is in the graveyard mourning.
Yeah, mourning. Oh man, mourning his family, and then Voldemort comes and pisses him off.
Well, I mean, Voldemort doesn't even particularly come to piss him off because he probably doesn't know he is. You know, going with the canon still that these are the people we've hired or got to protect us from our bullies, and they're our bully fight proxies.
Yes.
Probably Voldemort doesn't know who Drax is, and then Drax sees him because, you know, Voldemort won the last fight.
Yeah. So Drax would just see him. I reckon he'd just start shouting and run at him.
Yes. And then Drax sees him and is like, oh, that's the guy I need to beat up because he's the bully proxy fight. Right. That's the lore. I like it. So what's Voldemort going to the graveyard for?
Just for his jollies.
Just for a jolly.
I just imagine he likes graveyards.
Yeah, mourning? No, laughing.
Maybe he's going to go laugh at all the dead muggles.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, yeah.
Like, haha, look at these dead muggles.
Oh, God. I love it.
When I have a bad day, I just like to go and laugh at some dead muggles.
Accio dead muggles.
That's when he's having a really bad day and he can't even be bothered to go outside. So, dead muggles should always cheer me up.
They would just like smash through his window in his like camper van. I don't know why he's in a camper van. He tends to live in spooky houses, but you know.
Camping with Voldemort would be the worst reality TV show ever.
Would it?
I mean, for the people on it.
I would go camping with Voldemort.
Yeah.
Well, because as long as you can feign enough loyalty that, you know, he can't read your mind. And
he can read your mind, though. He's really good at oculomancy.
I know. But what I'm saying is, if as long as you can feign it well enough so that even when he reads your mind, you seem loyal.
You'd have to also be very good at, like, doing the other side of it, like the protecting people from reading your mind.
Mm. You know, you'd be all right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's just on a holiday because he wants to, you know, take a break from all his evil doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, camping with Voldemort.
Isn't he? I assume, like, Nagini's also slivering. He'd probably be with Voldemort. Like, they'd be in the same, like, side by side, like when you walk a dog.
Absolutely, yeah. They are both present and correct.
Sure.
Two hands, chief, because snakes don't have hands.
So I imagine Drax will run at them with the aim to put, like, one knife in Voldemort and one in Nagini.
That'd be quite impressive, because Nagini is a snake. Like, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying, you know, if you run at someone and you go for a snake on the ground and a guy who's standing, those are quite a different set of angles.
Yeah, but if you sort of went, I'm thinking sort of stab Voldemort in the stomach and Nagini in the head.
Yeah, okay. Is he going to shout anything? Does he shout? He shouts a lot.
Oh yeah, he'd be constantly shouting whilst running.
Okay, so I mean, Voldemort has no nose, but he isn't deaf.
Those are related. I often hear through my nose.
And he's going to see this wild charging green man, and he's like, I like green. I'll show him some green. He's going to show him some green. Whip out a $5 bill.
Yeah.
He's going to go for an old Avada Kedavra, I think.
I mean, probably that is the reasonable response.
It's Voldemort's classic response.
I guess this is where the size comes into it. Do you think he'd have time to dodge?
Sure.
Yeah. So then he'd probably dodge out of the way, maybe take cover behind some near grave or something.
Okay.
Then this would be the part where his sort of tactical mind would come into it. It'd be like, right, I can't just run at this guy because he shoots stuff at me. Because Drax has been involved in many a firefight, so he's good at the sort of take cover and knowing when to run screaming at somebody.
Yeah, like he just saw, as far as he was concerned, he saw an undefended man with maybe a stick and a snake.
Yeah.
When he's the guy who got bullied to stop you being bullied.
Absolutely.
Ran at him, essentially got shot at, because he doesn't understand, well, he probably does understand spells. Magic exists in their universe.
There is plenty of magic in the Marvel universe.
And has gone, oh ho, this ain't good.
No.
Let's take a chill pill. But you know what else has taken a chill pill?
No, what else?
Old Nagini, the little sliver.
Oh.
That misty layer that you mentioned, that's perfect for a little snake. I say little snake, it's a pretty big snake. Yeah, it's a big snake.
But yeah, you're right, that for Nagini to sort of slink in there like a cheeky minx.
Yeah, slink around, take the flank, while old Voldemort is just like, you cower before me. That's not a very good Ralph Fiennes impression. And then he's going to be like, you know, firing spells at this little tombstone that old green nuts is behind. Little chips firing off. Avada Kedavra. Avada Kedavra. You'll die in this graveyard.
I think Drax's thing to do would be to... Because we established that the spells aren't necessarily the quickest thing. So he could use the timing in between each one to move along graveyards to slowly close... not graveyards, graves.
Mm.
To slowly close the gap between them.
Okay.
Because obviously his thing is all about getting close.
Yeah.
And I think where Voldemort is quite an arrogant character, he wouldn't try and retreat away. He'd just keep firing the spells. He wouldn't necessarily care that the distance has been closed.
Voldemort, arrogant. I don't know what you're all about. Yeah, no, that seems fair. People are like, see, watch him laughing as he's you know, Voldemort would think he's cowering behind his tombstones.
Yeah.
Not Accio. I'm going to get stuck on Accio so many times. Slightly running joke. Avada Kedavra, phew, little bolt goes off. Drax runs to the next tombstone. Nagini now is obviously off-piste because Drax has moved. Still in the game, but not going for the right way.
Well, you say that, but I think very much that would be Voldemort's sort of one thing, and maybe that's why Voldemort wouldn't care so much that the distance was being closed, is because he'd known that Nagini was sneaking up.
Mm. I'm just saying that, like, if Nagini was going around the side, right?
Yeah.
And now Drax has moved, now he's got ground to make up again.
Yes.
You know, it's not like in striking distance, ready to go. Now she's got... Drax has more time.
Yes, but she would be moving a lot quicker than Drax, because Drax is waiting for spells to be fired off and going in between them.
Good point.
Whereas Nagini is on a mission.
Good point.
Drax would be closing the distance. He'd probably get to almost the point he could launch an attack on Voldemort when Nagini would reach him.
Nagini goes... he's crouched behind a tombstone, so it's hard to get the neck.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of broad shoulders in the way. Jesus. Drax is a well-built chap.
He is.
In his giant green body.
The guy they got to play him in the film to show off his sort of big stature is a professional wrestler by trade.
What did he trade to do that?
No. By trade, as in that's his profession.
Yeah, no, I'm being an idiot. I thought it was a funny joke.
Either that, or maybe he traded his soul.
Accio laughter.
That'd be really good. Today's episode of Wizarding World is in film before a studio audience. Accio laughter. Excellent.
How would anyone work? It's a sound. I love it.
I mean, it would work, but I don't. Maybe that's why people would laugh.
Oh dear. They'd just be accuring like all the arbitrary objects they don't need. Oh dear. Anyway, goes for the shoulder. Nagini, shoulder. Similar to last week, if you were there. If you weren't there, similar to last week. Goes for a shoulder. I don't think her jaw is that big. Or is it that big?
It is. She's a really big... She's much bigger than a real-life viper.
Okay.
So, yeah, she'd clamp onto his shoulder, and I think Drax would be in pain, but would instantly just, like, stick his knives into her and just cut her open.
Yes, I have absolutely no quarrels with Nagini go ka-chomp, and then Drax just going ka-pow, and Nagini being split in half.
Yeah, it...
I mean, oh, if a nerd with a sword.
I wasn't even necessarily thinking like cut, like I was thinking in the stomach and then down the body, just sort of like,
yeah, you know,
big hole, gut spilling out. Oh, it was awful. It'd get messy.
It wouldn't be good for Nagini.
No.
Yeah.
But being distracted by Nagini would allow for an Avada Kedavra to come in.
It would, but equally, we've already established that Voldemort isn't being a you know, he's quite arrogant. He's not really moving. He's probably just like kind of quote unquote camping.
Yes.
Firing shots off from the same spot.
It's a legit
probably camping. Under the impression that Nagini goes shoulder, guy stands up, boom, headshot. Doesn't even need to be a headshot. So I don't think he would have moved around to get a better position. I think he would have just like kind of been quite stoic and static.
Fair enough.
And then just seen his dead pet / last remaining Horcrux flumped out the side.
Well, then there's also the thing that when a Horcrux is destroyed for, I don't know, 5-10 seconds or whatever, he is in immense body crippling pain, which gives Drax an opening, if not to reach him, to certainly get a lot closer.
Mm. What happens when a Horcrux is destroyed? I'm just seeing if there's any kind of written lore about some kind of thing. You're definitely right. There was definitely some pain involved. I'm just trying to see if there's anything I can go to. But okay, we'll go for about a big anguish of pain. And you know what happens when you're anguishing in pain?
No.
You're unable to do things.
That is true. Well, that's what I was saying. It's body crippling pain for sort of, I reckon, about 5 seconds.
Okay, 5 seconds. Drax. He's not a super intelligent man, but he's not a dumb man. And he's not even a man.
He's very battle intelligent. He's got a lot of combat experience.
I see no reason why he wouldn't just absolutely leg it out on Voldy.
That's exactly what
right
he would
now.
Do. He would see his chance. He would be in there. Possibly throwing the dead snake at him.
To eat this.
And then charging sort of knives in hand. And it is very much a question of, I think, will he get there before Voldemort can fire off a spell?
Ooh, drum roll. I think there's not enough distance for Voldy. Don't get wrong, I think Voldy will be like, ah! And then he'll bring up his wand just as Drax gets to him in a rugby tackle-esque pose. I know Voldemort doesn't necessarily need a wand for spells, but I'm pretty sure he needs, you know, something to focus on for an Avada Kedavra. You're not going to be able to do it while you're being pummeled in the face on the floor in a graveyard by a green man.
No.
And I think he's being pummeled in the face on the floor in a graveyard by a green man.
Absolutely. And then, like, you know, he'd sort of, that's it, Drax would be on top of him, beat him to the floor, knives up, just sort of several stabs to the chest and face.
Maybe Voldemort would try to transpire to smoke. I don't think it's going to help.
No, because anything that's touching him, like as you saw from the last Harry Potter movie, they're also, like, because the bits when he's fighting with Harry, like, Harry gets smoked too. So if Drax had a good hold of him when he got smoked, Drax would just travel with him and just keep stabbing.
Oh, no. And then Accio sympathy.
Oh. And he was only one day away from retirement.
He was one day away. And he went to a graveyard. He invited it upon himself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Drax would win that. And I think, again, it was... And it goes with the whole thing... I can't remember the exact quote, but there was a thing where J.K. Rowling was saying that ultimately Voldemort's end only comes from his own arrogance. That was very much sort of what happened here. If he had bothered to sort of retreat more and back away and actually consider Drax as a threat... And not just a large screaming man.
That's the problem, isn't it? When
you've already got a streak of two, you just get too confident.
Well, I wasn't gonna say when you've got a streak of two. I was gonna say when you have a pretty much limitless supply of "you are dead" in your hand.
Yeah.
How many people do you actively consider a threat?
Not many.
It's not many.
No, especially as until I mean. In this, about what, 10, 15 seconds before he died, he was invincible as long as Nagini was about?
Yeah, pretty much. He considered him a threat as soon as he felt that awful pain of his beloved pet battle snake being torn in two.
That's it. But by then it was too late.
Too late. He'd not got any distance. He is a very arrogant man who would just stand there and just absolutely pretend he's on a like mounted machine gun of Avada Kedavras. Just go, there's no reason for him not to.
No, absolutely not.
There you go. Yet again, it comes down to the Die of Death. This is why we call it the Die of Death. Because like every single round we've had is, well, not every single one, but most of them is pretty much been the location, which has factored considerably into the outcome.
Yeah. I think last one was the Zeppelin. Although that was a funnier location, I think that was the one that didn't necessarily make a difference.
Yeah. Possibly.
There it was very much just Wicked K's personality.
Yeah, poor chap. But then again here, Voldemort's personality played in as well.
That's it, really. Again, I think that made a lot, unless it had been a massive open field. Like, as long as Drax had some cover to take in order to get closer to him.
Yeah.
You know, as long as he had a way of doing it. Again, yeah, it was just Voldemort's arrogance that sort of let him down.
But, yeah, I was going to say old Voldy, Accio dead.
Accio dead. That's the name of this episode right there.
Not any of the other Accio references.
No, just Accio dead. Or maybe Accio laughter. I don't know if Accio dead is sort of a bit spoilery.
Accio the moon.
No, I prefer Accio laughter.
Okay. Right. Time to determine my next combatant. My next bully protector. The next protector of me. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready and waiting. I'm looking forward to hearing your clue.
Oh, God. Okay, what's my clue? What is my clue for this person?
I mean, you could tell me who the person is if you want to, and then I can help with a clue. But obviously, you don't have to.
That's all right. Give us a short period of time.
I'm going to quickly Wikipedia and or IMDb an interesting fact about this character.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. Okay, this guy or girl, probably guy, is from a series of books, and he is a pirate captain.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's my clue about him. They're a pirate captain from a series of books.
I remember you telling me about a book you were reading about pirates recently, and I can't remember any of the things you told me.
I'm probably not reading a book about pirates at the minute, because I read it ages ago.
Maybe recently you told me about it. I don't know.
Probably the latter, because...
Possibly in context with this. You probably said,
absolutely
hey,
certain it was.
Well, I don't remember who it was, but that's who it is.
Yes, that is who they are.
Awesome. Well, we hope you have enjoyed today's episode of...
Mishmash Mayhem.
Obviously, if you agree with how we did things, then feel free to tell us on Twitter. Or if you disagree, also feel free to tell us on the Twitter. You can find us at PodcastMMM. Similarly, if you want to suggest any characters that you'd like to see fight in it, we can then, you know, if we like any of the suggestions, we'll add them to our list so they may show up in the future, you know? Wade's list now has one gap. We already had one fan suggestion on and ended up lasting for 3 episodes, which is impressive considering there's only been 4 so far.
Well, I mean, you know, he did have a green cloud of spam as ability disposal.
Yes, he did. or if you want to say anything else to us on Twitter, feel free. That's where we are.
Accio outro.
Just as a reminder to everyone that we are part of the TTSS Productions, which is on TinkerTailorSoldierSponge.com, where there are plenty of other podcasts you could listen to if you want to.
Double T, double S.
Triple M.
Oh my god, that sounds so cool. Double T, double S, triple M.
And, you know, last week, on the 3rd of February, episode 1 was released, and that was exciting. So hopefully we've had some people listen all the way through and have heard all of them by the time this one comes out.
I haven't listened all the way through yet.
Oh, well, that's sad.
I'll get there.
We had, episode 1 had 16 people listen to it on the first day it was out. Let's hope that all the other episodes get more than that.
A similar or bigger number.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing. Please remember to share this around if you enjoy it, or even if you don't enjoy it and you know other people who might, it would be really appreciated.
Or even if you don't enjoy it, and you want to share it with people who will laugh with you at how bad it is.
That's also fine.
Yeah, just share it.
We'd really appreciate it. All right, thank you for listening, and we will hopefully see you next time. That's right, we can see.
Toodle pip. I mean, catch... Wait, what's my phrase? What's my catchphrase? See you all... I can't remember what it is.
Catch you all late.
I think it's catch you all late. Yeah, catch you all late.
Bye.
Accio catchphrase.